We're going to switch gears now and bring things a little bit more local and talk about what's going on in Springfield. And joining me now on the phone is Mark Densler. Mark is the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Mark, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I know that you, the IMA, announced its legislative priorities, and I wanted to talk to you about that, but maybe just to start things off, I'm wondering about, you know, in kind of the new world order of Springfield with Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, as well as these expanded supermajorities for Democrats in the legislature. I mean, what is the climate as you see it coming from kind of the manufacturers and business perspective?
Well, I think that, again, I appreciate you having me on this morning. Certainly so far from the IMA's perspective, you know, it's been a challenge dealing with a new governor, about 40 new members of the Illinois General Assembly. The IMA has always had the ability to work with governors of both parties and lawmakers from both parties to try to move our agenda forward. But it's been a challenge so far dealing with the minimum wage hike and the graduated income tax. And that's why the IMA's put together our agenda, doing a lot on workforce development and some tax reform to again, try to make the climate better for the manufacturing sector.
Well, and I know one of the agenda items is the research and development credit, which, I mean, it seems like we fight this thing all the time. And I don't know why it always sunsets and then there's a battle and we end up back where we were again. I mean, why can't we just extend this thing out?
Well, that's one of the IMA's big priorities for this year, is making the research and development tax credit permanent and modernizing it. Lifeblood, or R&D, is the lifeblood of manufacturing. When you think of all the new products that are being made around the state or being improved upon, research and development goes into all of that. And we have some sectors in Illinois, whether it's the biopharmaceutical sectors in Lake County or heavy equipment or foods, or you think of, you know, electronics. But you're right, the General Assembly has kind of turned this on or off five times in 20 years, creating no stability. And what we've seen are a lot of Illinois companies moving their headquarters, their R&D facilities outside Illinois. So it's not set to expire for another year or two, but we'd like to get the long-term or permanent extension done this year.
Well, as you mentioned, the competitive nature of having that for Illinois manufacturers, but also it just seems to go in line with how we see manufacturing, the changes that we've seen in manufacturing and modernization and digitalization, computerization, robot automation. I mean, it just seems in line to continue that kind of credit out.
You know, you're absolutely right. I was actually, the governor toured M-Hub in Chicago. I was with him a couple weeks ago, and to see particularly a lot of these new startup companies using the cool technology, and manufacturing is no longer kind of the dark, dirty, and dangerous. It is high tech. It is robotic. We're making some very cool things in Illinois. And again, it's very high tech. It's automated, and we need this R&D so that we keep these jobs in Illinois. The average research and development job in Illinois pays about $125,000 a year. So you have that as well, and then you create the product in Illinois, and then it's made in Illinois, and we employ thousands of workers doing it.
Yeah, and these are, you know, as you said, this is the modernization of manufacturing, and it's not the what we think of as the old time factory work, and these are highly skilled jobs.
You know, they are very, very highly skilled. And you're right, Rick. You no longer kind of walk out of high school, walk to the local factory, and work for 40 years. It takes some additional training and schooling, whether at a community college or a technical school. But they're great careers, averaging about $80,000 a year in wages and benefits. And you just have to think of your iPhone or your Android that have only been around 10 years and we're already in, you know, version 10 or 11. Very cool things. But what we've seen is a number of companies moving their R&D outside of Illinois because, you know, Rick, while we have 2 years to go, they're thinking out 5, 10, 20 years down the road about what they're going to make and how they're going to do it. They're not necessarily just thinking the next year ahead.
You can't be locked into that narrow-mindedness. You've got to be looking long-term, particularly as fast as the world is moving. I mean, I look at, you know, in the priorities list, too, you have, you know, about support for apprenticeships. And that seems to be, you know, part and parcel with this whole idea of the new skilled workforce that needs to be trained for these jobs.
We have, today, Illinois manufacturers employ about 580,000 workers, and as we see these baby boomers retiring, we're going to have to replace 300,000 workers over the next decade or so. That means we need to find about 20,000-25,000 production workers and 3,000-5,000 engineers every year just to stay constant, stay at the same level. So a couple different provisions. One is the Grow Your Own STEM Teacher Act that we'll get into, but the apprenticeships are how companies today are investing in their own workforce. And we've seen the model work very well in Germany. We are working with the German-American Chamber of Commerce and other groups around the state. We're kind of taking the lead role on that with the German-American Chamber. And companies are growing their own workforce, essentially, and they're bringing in young men and women or returning veterans or dislocated workers in for kind of 2 or 3 years in an apprenticeship type role. And then when that is done, they move right into the job. They're paid during the apprenticeship. Sometimes they can get a dual credit if they're in high school or college. But manufacturers are taking their training into their own hands, and the apprenticeship program is an important part of that to make sure they have the necessary skills at the end of the day.
And what you're looking for is a tax credit that's equal to kind of the education expense.
Correct. It's very, very small. I think it's less than $500,000 total annually to help with some of those educational costs. But again, we need manufacturing. When you look at the scope and the importance to the Illinois economy, employing 580,000 people and 12.5% of our gross state product, 90% of Illinois exports are manufactured products. We can't forget about the manufacturing sector. I know there's a lot of talk about minimum wage or, you know, this sector or that sector or the hot new topic, but manufacturing is the critical cog of our state's economy, and we can't forget about it.
Well, and, you know, it doesn't matter what party you support or whatever, everybody knows that one of the ways to try to help get this state out of this financial morass that we're in is to grow the economy and grow those kinds of skilled, high-paying jobs.
In manufacturing, we want to be part of the solution. We are part of the solution. You know, adding jobs that pay $80,000 a year in wages and benefits, this is a lot of the answer to Illinois' problem. You're right. These are middle-class jobs. They allow a family to, you know, send their kids to college or go on vacation or buy that new car. You know, our sector, for every manufacturing job, we have the highest multiplier. We create an additional 3 jobs. And for every dollar invested in manufacturing, there's another $1.89 in economic output created. Again, the highest multiplier effect. So as manufacturing flourishes, you know, our state is going to become an economic engine again in the Midwest and nation, which it should be.
Well, and also can help in some of that, I guess I would say, rural-urban divide for, you know, where these rural communities that feel that they've, you know, all but been abandoned, that, you know, if you can create a incentive way to bring manufacturing into some of these areas, provide the workforce, it would seem like a natural fit.
Again, you've hit the nail on the head. We've seen a lot of times, you know, people see the cranes in Chicago downtown and think things are great, but out in the rural areas of the state, there's some real challenges and struggles. And oftentimes, it's the longtime factory manufacturing plant that's closed down or reduced headcount, and then the towns kind of dry up. The people leave to go find jobs. So if we can enhance manufacturing in the state and keep these manufacturing plants growing and expanding, you know, it creates those jobs. It creates the center of the hub for the community. And again, you keep those small towns moving forward.
We're speaking with Mark Densler. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio, joined on the phone by Mark Densler, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. We're talking about the IMA's legislative priorities in Springfield, and let's face it, Mark, Springfield's gotten a little bit overshadowed by the Chicago mayoral race and other happenings up here in Chicago, and there is a lot going on down in Springfield this time of year. One thing I wanted to ask you about on the priorities list, and I found this to be somewhat unique, it's protection of critical infrastructure. And I hadn't really thought about this, but, you know, legislation to enhance penalties for people that want to intentionally damage some of our essential infrastructure, you know, water treatment, electricity generating plants, you know, even military bases. And this is one example, I guess you would say, that both sides can get together on this, that business and labor can reach a middle ground on some things.
Yeah, this is a common sense bill legislation that we are working with the Illinois AFL-CIO side by side on. And unfortunately, what we've seen in the country, and there's been a couple of small incidents in Illinois, or essentially I call them kind of eco-terrorists or the very fringe that will go out and intentionally damage infrastructure. And we're not talking about spray painting a fence. We're talking about individuals that will go into, again, whether it is a military base, a nuclear facility, a energy refinery or a pipeline, a water system, with the goal of shutting that down by intentionally damaging key equipment. And so labor and the business community, the IMA, worked together on a bill enhancing penalties for both damage and criminal trespass to help slow that down and shut it down, because when this critical infrastructure is damaged, it really has the potential to harm the protesters and the employees and the communities where it's located. So we're very happy to be working with the AFL-CIO. It's passed out of committee this past week, and Representative Jay Hoffman from Southern Illinois is the sponsor, and we hope to move that through the General Assembly this year.
Yeah, I mean, it just, as I said, it's one of those things you don't really think about, but then when you look at what the effect could be for this kind of intentional inflicting of damage to, you know, water treatment, nuclear plant, that kind of thing, just the spiraling effect that has on the rest of, you know, the state.
Yeah, I mean, and actually kind of the list of infrastructure was developed back in 2013 by then President Obama, who talked about the nation's goal to protect these things. And we've seen, Rick, a number of states that have taken measures to protect it. There's three or four have passed it. There's bills in about 15 or 20 states this year, just because we've seen, you know, kind of radical individuals go out, and the last thing you want is damage to a pipeline, you know, and see a spill of hundreds of thousands of gallons of oil in a community, or heaven forbid something happen in a nuclear facility. And so again, it's a common sense approach. It's one that doesn't have political partisan ideology behind it, and it's common sense for the city of Illinois to protect this important infrastructure.
I know also on the priority list is the manufacturer's purchase credit, which here again, kind of one of those things that gets debated all the time, and that became a victim of the budget impasse, the historic budget impasse. And, you know, that was always something that was just automatically re-upped before.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, during the old Blagojevich days, it had been temporarily sunset, and it fell under this provision that, again, every 5 years it has to be renewed. And you're exactly right. During the two-year budget impasse, when a lot of things fell by the wayside, this is one of them. We just think, Rick, that the governor and members of the General Assembly need to focus on manufacturing. As we talked before, it's so important to the state's economy and to the men and women that work on the factory floors across the state of Illinois. we need to nourish this sector and grow it. These are the good, high-paying, middle-class jobs, and we can't forget there's so much focus on, you know, minimum wage down here, and we're in the final 8 or 9 weeks of session. There's a lot of big things on the plate, as you know, whether it's sports wagering or recreational marijuana or capital infrastructure bill, and certainly the fight on the graduated income tax. But, you know, during all this, we can't forget about the manufacturing sector. So, again, a couple of these small tax reform items and education workforce items can go a long way in helping the industrial sector.
Mark Densler is president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. The IMA is the oldest and largest state manufacturing trade association in the United States, representing nearly 4,000 companies. Mark, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Rick, and let's hope our Blackhawks can somehow do it.
I'm not giving up.
Thanks,
Mark.
Thanks, Rick.